Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. The U.S. national debt has now topped $14 trillion. $14 trillion. Now, that doesn't mean anything to anyone, does it? $14 trillion. The U.S. population has reached over 300 million, over 310 million now. So if you divide our national debt by the population, that means, now this is what each of you owe, okay? This is what you owe per person. That means that you and your heirs need to be taxed this amount of money, in addition to paying for the government and everything we do, to pay for the national debt, $45,000 per person. $45,000 already, my board operator is saying he's broke already. And if you have a family of four, don't worry, that means your family owes $180,000. And that's before you pay your mortgage, your food, or after, however you want to look at it. And if you have a family of six, it's over $250,000 you guys owe, $270,000. And we have Republicans and Democrats who share in this, right? Every Republican president, every administration since World War II has vastly outspent his Democratic predecessor. Now, in California, that state is in economic crisis, and Arnold Schwarzenegger has now stepped down as governor, and he tripled the deficit of California, which was already massive. He tripled it, the annual deficit, while he was there. And so here we are owing $14 trillion. I remember when somebody said to me a while back, they said, well, why don't we just erase the debt? Just pass a law or print a coin that says $14 trillion, and because they say Congress can do that, and just say we erase the debt. Just it's gone. And I asked him, you have any U.S. savings bonds? He said, well, I have some. Well, how many have? Well, I don't know, a few thousand dollars worth. I got for my kids and all, and my wife and I have some U.S. savings bonds. I said, well, let's get them and cash them in and give all the money to the government. No, I won't do that. I would never do that. Well, that's what you're talking about. You're saying let's let the government. Now, not all of our national debt is in U.S. savings bonds, but our debt is owed to investors in America and around the world, a significant percentage of it. And so you just go to them and say, guess what? We're not going to pay you. That's called stealing. So you have conservatives who advocate stealing because they don't want to pay their bills. And so what we have in America is a Republican Party that is as addicted to socialist spending as the Democrats practically. There's just a difference in degree, but every administration, every Republican administration has outspent the preceding Democratic administration since World War II. So now with Obama, I don't know how that's even possible. Is there enough money in the world to do that? I don't know. Don't tell Obama what comes after a trillion, please. Don't tell him what comes after a trillion. And by the way, our family, we homeschool. We strongly recommend homeschooling. And Cheryl had asked me a while back if we could take our boys to see the King Tut, Tutankhamun exhibit in Denver. And so we've done that, and it was really worthwhile to learn about the history of that part of the world. And there's so much, when you look at world history, that confirms the basic outline of Scripture, that the Bible's perspective on world history is accurate. As far back as you can go in recorded history, you see tremendous sophistication, a heightened level of civilization, knowledge, wisdom. You don't see ape-like creatures grunting, trying to figure out how to make fire and coming out of caves. That's not what you see. When you go back in history, as far back as you can go, you find sophisticated architecture and economic systems. You find a lot of wickedness, but tremendous sophistication. And if today we only use a small percentage of our brain, if the scientists are right that we do, well, what did we evolve? A tremendous mental capacity as apes, like Lucy or something, and then we lost it? That doesn't make sense. Evolution would only give you what you need if it were true, but instead we've been devolving, and the ancients, without our modern technology, had just tremendous sophistication and capabilities. And also in the ancient world, it seems that there was a tremendous obsession with death. If you recall, when God made Adam and Eve, we would have lived forever. But because we rebelled against God, sin and death entered the human experience. And originally, even with the weight of sin on us, the patriarchs, the ancients, lived to many hundreds of years, 900 to 1,000 years old. But then eventually, the lifespans began to decay, and they decayed not on a linear, but on a exponential curve. And it seems like in the ancient world, in China and in Egypt, where they had enough wealth to be obsessed, they were obsessed with dying. And as soon as they took power, the pharaohs, the great kings of old, they began planning for their funeral. Isn't that something? And they had a book for sale there at the King Tut exhibit at the Denver Art Museum. And they had a drawing on the cover. And I tell you, it was Barack Tut. It was Barack Tut. It was Obama Tut on the cover. This book was about Tutankhamun, King Tut, the 19-year-old pharaoh who died. We don't know why. And the fabulous wealth left behind in his burial chamber. But boy, that picture, that looks, in fact, we bought one. Maybe I'll have to scan it and put it on our website. But I tell you, they drew King Tut to look just like Barack Obama. So our kids are calling him Barack Tut. Barack Tut. All right. So it's really tremendous when you have a biblical perspective to be able to see that the history of the world confirms that biblical perspective. We just had a Bible study. We're doing the book of 2 Corinthians, and Asia is mentioned, but Asia is the Roman province of Asia, not Asia as in China and Japan, Thailand, not that Asia, but the Roman province of Asia at the time of the Caesars was what we today call Turkey. Turkey in the Middle East, we call it Asia Minor. And we were thinking about how we call the Middle East the Middle East, and if you go west from there, you get to Europe and the Americas, we call that the Western Hemisphere. And if you go east from the Middle East, you get to Asia, and we call that the East in the Eastern Hemisphere. And as far east as you can go from the Middle East, and again, this shows the biblical perspective of history is true. The cradle of civilization is in the Mesopotamian Valley, that is Iraq between the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers, Mesopotamia. What's the river in Washington, D.C. that Washington crossed? The Potomac. Remember that? He said, come on, boys, keep rowing. Please don't stop. The boats are only rented and we got to 6 o'clock. Well, that's the Italian version. Anyway, the Potomac, P-O-T, that's river. That's a Greek root for river. And Mesopotamia, between the rivers, that's where civilization started. Now, evolutionists want you to believe that out of Africa, that man came out of Africa, which is not true. But the history of the world unfolds from the Middle East. And so you start in the Middle East and you head east. And you get to where? Where's the farthest you can go until you'd hit a massive ocean. And if you, somehow you cross that, you probably run into people that started out same time you did heading west. Well, you end up in Japan, right? And what is Japan? The country of Japan. What's the meaning? Japan is the land of the rising sun. Japan means east or rising sun. So Japan, for the whole world, for the history of the world, Japan is the east, the land of the rising sun. That only makes sense from a perspective where civilization began in the Middle East in the land of the Bible. So you have Abraham born in the city of Ur, southern Iraq, Persian Gulf, and you have the city of Jericho, and the ancients had sophisticated architecture and economic systems, political systems, systems of commerce, jewelry. Just, they were not apes that were trying to figure out how to start a fire. It's the opposite. History and the truth is the opposite of the propaganda taught by our godless public schools. And it is just so neat to go with your kids and spend a couple hours looking at this King Tut exhibit and then asking the kids at these earliest times in recorded history where human beings acting like they were sophisticated chimps, like they had just climbed out of the trees and caves, or were they tremendously cultured and sophisticated? And Dominic, 9 years old, Domin Common, we call him King Domin Common, he said they were sophisticated. Of course they were sophisticated. That was pretty neat. And now, so that's the U.S. national debt. We owe $45,000 per person. So get a piggy bank for your kids and have them start saving up so they can pay their fair share of the debt. And whenever you want more government benefits, realize you're hurting your kids and your grandkids. Every time you say you want more, more, more. What is that group for old people? I got one of their letters. How old am I getting? It's the AARP. AARP. When has the AARP ever said to Congress, you know what? That's too much money and benefits for the elderly. We care about our grandkids. We'd like you to scale that back a little. When have they ever said that? No. No. Okay. So now we want to go from the national debt to King Tut to the terrorists in Afghanistan. I tell you, these terrorists are in for, they're in trouble again. And this, it's serious this time for them. Not only, why again? Well, not only has Al-Qaeda's leader, what's his name? We never talk about him anymore. Osama bin Laden in a basement in Pakistan for about a decade now. Osama bin Laden been sitting in a basement in Pakistan for about a decade now. And we have had drones, unmanned airborne drones, that fly over the skies of potential battlefields or looking to spot and track terrorists. And those drones have not been especially sophisticated. I'll give you an example. And I used to work for McDonnell Douglas Helicopter Company in Mesa, Arizona, on the Apache attack helicopter, the AH-64. And that was really a neat opportunity to spend some time of your life doing that. And back then, I got to brief a Pentagon procurement general. It was really a wonderful time. Well, our current drones that the Air Force operates flying over Afghanistan, let's say they're looking for terrorist activity in a town. So the plane is flying at a certain altitude, and it's got a single camera, and the camera has a pretty narrow field of view. To be effective, it only covers maybe a couple blocks or so. So you're driving around and you've got this like a soda straw view of the town. That's what we've been using. Well, within a month or so, the Air Force is set to deploy a new drone surveillance system. It's called the Gorgon Stare. And this plane, this is neat. It can send up to 65 different images to different users simultaneously. It has 9 sophisticated video cameras that are taking images at a different rate that we would use for TV or movies, a rate more fitting for use on the battlefield. And so we've got troops on the ground who might need live information being fed to them, get a live scene of what's happening in a village. Maybe the village is only 7 or 8 tents, but with some camels and jeeps and rocket launchers. But and also analysts at the Pentagon and others, military intelligence at the theater headquarters somewhere. And so all these separate video feeds are being sent simultaneously. And so the unit on the ground could look at a portion of one of the feeds in real time while other analysts are doing whatever with their feeds. And so now they can track, surveil an entire town simultaneously instead of just looking at a couple blocks. That's neat, and that should be deployed within a month or so. So the terrorists in Afghanistan are in trouble again. Our phone number here, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. I remember Osama bin Laden, one of his sons, after 9/11 and before Osama went underground. Remember we found Saddam Hussein? Saddam Hussein been sitting in a spider hole in Iraq. Remember that? We found him in a hole in the back of some farmyard. And he was in a hole in the ground in a spider hole. And a lot of these guys end up with bad hair days. Well, we're going to find out one day that after Tora Bora, that Osama bin Laden, since then, has been sitting in a basement in Pakistan. That's where he's been for a decade, or going on a decade now, when we get to that anniversary. And we have the Air Force using this now, about to use this Gorgon Stare. By the way, they named it that because of the mythical Greek creature. Remember, if you looked at it, you turned to stone, like the Medusa. But this was a creature with an unblinking eyes. It did not blink. And if you looked at it, you turned to stone. And so a fitting name. By the way, our number here, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. And a terrorist, what makes a crime a terrorist crime? What makes it that kind of crime? Well, a terrorist crime, if you have a murder, somebody kills someone because they're committing adultery, they're trying to cover it up, they're trying to steal another man's wife, that's murder. That's typical murder. That's a terrible crime. If you're convicted of murder, you should be put to death. If you're convicted of terrorist violence, you should be put to death. So it's also murder. But what makes it terrorism? Terrorism is when violence, including lethal violence, is used to try to change foreign policy or public policy. So when non-government states are trying to conduct their own foreign policy, that is terrorism. So if a country commits an act of war, they could be criminal, they could be genocidal, but we wouldn't necessarily call that terrorism. But terrorism is when individuals and private groups use violence, bloodshed, murder to try to enact public policy changes or changes to foreign policy. And so that's effectively, that is a good, the best working definition of terrorism. And so there are terrorists in Afghanistan who are all for, like in Egypt, when the Christians were killed at that New Year's Eve service. Did you see that? 2,000 Christians at a New Year's Eve service this past week in Egypt, and some terrorists pull up with a bomb. The bomb goes off. It kills and injures about 120 people, over 20 people dead. And that they were the casualties in the church. Then there are the people outside of the church. And then there were Muslims outside of the church who were chanting Allah Akbar and jihadi chants and stepping on the body parts of the victims. And we've got the former president of Lebanon saying what I'll describe here, his words, I'll describe them, though, as a creeping genocide of Christians. And it's not politically correct for our media to worry about Christians being slaughtered. They don't know what to do with that. They don't know how to cover that. They're sort of uncomfortable with that. But if one homosexual was beat up somewhere, that would be the lead story, cover story, USA Today, Newsweek, Evening News. Let's go to Aurora, Colorado, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Nathaniel, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Happy New Year to you, my friend. God
Thank
bless.
You, sir. God bless you.
I think I've talked to you about this before. I hope it's the last time I can talk to you about this.
Yeah.
You just said something about civilization did not start in Africa. It started in Mesopotamia or something like that.
Mesopotamia, yeah.
And you could be right, because civilization started where the Garden of Eden was. That's where it started at.
Well, after, do you recall, Nathaniel, you believe in the Bible, right?
Of course, of course.
Yeah, you've called in. You love the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible tells us God created the earth, the paradise, and he put the Garden of Eden on the earth.
Yes.
But then there was a global flood that wiped out not only the human race, except for eight people, but all of the land, the air-breathing creatures that walked on the earth, and the entire crust of the earth was reformed.
Okay.
And so the Garden of Eden, wherever it was, has been completely erased by that judgment. And then after the global flood, the ark came down in the mountains of Ararat, the Bible says.
Okay.
And Noah and his family disembarked. And from Noah and his family and his three sons and their wives and Noah's wife came the whole human race.
Correct.
And the ark, it didn't come down, say, in Pretoria, you know. It came down somewhere in the Middle East, although the mountains of Ararat, it's not a specific mountain, it's a range. So somewhere between Iraq and Turkey, that part of the world.
Is that where Mesopotamia
is?
Okay,
yes.
Now listen, Bob. Now, there was a civilization before Noah, don't forget, before Noah and
Ark.
Yeah,
right, about 1,500 years.
And we're still not sure. I heard it was billions of people. I don't know how many, but I heard it was a lot of people.
It was undoubtedly 100 million or hundreds of millions of people.
Okay, and I don't know if you have proof that the Garden of Eden, God could have protected the Garden of Eden if he wanted to.
Well,
I don't know if you have proof that it's gone or not.
Well, he certainly could have, right? Mm-hmm. And he could replant it, but there's no biblical evidence that happened. And the world has been explored, and we haven't found a Garden of Eden.
Well,
there's some really neat gardens on Vancouver Island north of Victoria.
But if God still wanted to see it, he could very easily hide it from our eyes. But what I'm trying to say is, through our DNA, the scientists have proven that the first human beings were black. African-Americans,
Nathaniel,
you have a problem with that.
I don't have a problem with what race the first human beings were. I love blacks. I honor, respect, and value blacks as much as any other race of human beings. And so if it turns out that the original human beings were dark skin, and I think they were, well, then that's great. But that doesn't address the question of where did civilization begin, because everyone in Africa are descended from those eight people on Noah's Ark.
And Noah's Ark and Noah were descended from Adam and Eve.
Yes.
Okay, so...
And Noah had three sons, Shem, yes. Ham, and Japheth.
Yes.
There's also Canaan to deal with.
Yes.
If you want to know Canaan's story, go to our website, kgov.com. Just search for Canaan.
Well, Ham was not cursed. We know that, right? It was Canaan's son was
Canaan
cursed.
Canaan was cursed, not Ham.
Right. There you go.
That's exactly right.
So
and we talk about why, but you mentioned genetics.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at secular evolutionary literature,
mm-hmm.
they talk about mitochondrial Eve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they thought that all women, all human beings would be descended from maybe thousands of original half-ape, half-human.
Oh, no, I don't believe that crap.
Right,
that's
all a lie. Yeah,
of course
I wouldn't use that word, but Nathaniel.
Well, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's, you're forgiven.
Don't.
Thank you. But Nathaniel, they've said now when we look at the mutation rates of our mitochondrial DNA, we are all descended from one woman, and she lived about 6,000 years ago. And that's from the atheistic Darwinist evolutionist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't like that. They're uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So then they mix chimp DNA in
uh-huh.
with human DNA.
Uh-huh.
And they say, well, maybe it was 200,000 years ago.
No,
truth is 6,000 years. And
there's
a bottleneck of the Y chromosome
mm-hmm.
where we could see that there's one Y chromosome of men for the whole world. Because we're all descended from Noah. And
Adam.
The three wives on the ark, there are three families of X chromosomes for women
mm-hmm.
all over the world. And two of them are very closely related. So we know that Noah's three sons married two women who were closely related, probably
mm-hmm.
maybe first cousins,
mm-hmm.
and another woman.
Uh-huh.
And the whole human race is descended from those eight people. It's all fun.
And they were descended from Adam and Eve. Because Eve means
yes.
Eve means the mother of all mankind.
Yeah.
But again, though, the scientists are saying that through our DNA, that they can trace it back to the first human beings.
To the first. No, Africa is the whole thing about, they think we're apes, Nathaniel. It's an insult to blacks. They think we're apes, and so therefore we came out of Africa. So that's an insult. We have to take a biblical Christian worldview, not the atheistic evolutionary worldview. May God bless you, Nathaniel. KGov.com.